Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. Hello, John.
Thank you. That's quite an introduction. Thank you.
Well, I try my best. I mean, that's the only value I can provide. Sorry. So let's talk on the macro. There's a lot of worry about China, isn't there? I mean, generally, in fact, I saw a report on yesterday. I was going to bed last night watching the BBC News at 10. And first of all, there was a report on China stealing our data and trying to break in through the back door, through the, I don't know what door, the dark door, the internet door, whatever that is, the virtual door, stealing our data. So there's a lot of worry anyway, generally, about China. But for them, does President Xi Jinping, sounds like a doorbell, Xi Jinping, but does he care about the economy? That's what I'm thinking. Does he?
Well, the Chinese Communist Party are very focused on managing and supporting the Chinese economy. And I mean, we've heard about it directly in the mining industry, and in that they've offered money to one of the UK universities on the proviso that they don't support any courses relating to the mining or minerals extractive industries. So it's okay if you want to study. You might get away with a course on geology, or perhaps they'd rebrand it as earth sciences or something like that, or geography. But actually, if you want to go and study proper mining, forget it. The Chinese are saying no. If you want Chinese cash, and let's face it, the universities want cash from wherever they can get it, they won't have it, which is a pretty sneaky way of undermining our extractive industries.
Yeah, so they want you to study what there? Anything apart from mining? Is it a case, or is it anything else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And that affects our last remaining mining school down in Camborne. So I don't know where that's got to, but, you know, the Chinese are a bit sneaky about this stuff.
Hey, let's be honest, the Chinese government, not the people, the Chinese government are sneaky anyway. Let's be honest. I never believe anything they say. You can only look at what they're doing, not what they're saying. But the PPI has come out producer price index, in China. And it was forecast to come in at minus 5%. Previously, minus 4.6. It came in at minus 5.4. Now, for people not familiar with the producer price index, it measures the change in input prices of raw, semi-finished or finished goods and services. So that's what goes into, you know, production factories, all that stuff. So that's quite worrying, isn't it? Because China exports a lot of stuff. And if their prices are going down there, and their prices are going down massively, it's good, I suppose, for countries that import a lot to have inflation like us. Because that means we're importing deflation, pretty much, aren't we?
Well, yes, and the US have talked about importing deflation with the cost of Chinese goods going down and the cost of transport from China to the US collapsing. So if you remember, while we had all the COVID issues and lots of disruption going on with on shipping routes, prices went up 5 to 10 times. Now the cost of a container is something under $2,000 a TEU, 20-foot unit. So that's a big change. And actually, that's really good because, I mean, there are companies, for example, Made.com, pretty much went bust because of the cost of shipping and some of the disruption. It wasn't just the cost of shipping containers. It was also because they were being messed about by the Belgians with warehousing and stuff like that and demurrage charges. But you can actually, you can point to businesses that have gone down as a result of the huge cost of shipping from China, where a lot of these companies were having stuff made.
Yeah, but do you know what I'm worried about, genuinely? I remember a long time back, I used to have on a Friday as well, in fact, still on, but not this week, Russ Mould, investment director at AJ Bell there, and he's a fundamentalist guy, looks at a lot of figures, got a big brain. And for a long time, you know, when no one was talking about inflation, and there was rumours that quantitative easing could exacerbate inflation, but it was non-existent for a long time. Inflation, or non-existent, and now we have inflation. What people are not talking about is deflation, you know, and that's a worrying thing, isn't it? Because of course, prices go down, keep going down. There's no incentive to buy. That's why the target for inflation is 2%. Because if you don't buy a car now, it'll be 2% more expensive in 6 months or a year time or whatever it is. But if that car or that white goods or whatever is like cheaper in 6 months, no one's going to buy. That's a downward spiral. So less is produced, less people need to be employed, less people can afford to buy. Then you get a downward spiral. I think at the moment, we can see by American CPI, it's coming down. It's not coming down, but the rise in prices are less quick, are less fast. And I keep thinking in my head of this analogy of that super boat, the super tanker that you're trying to stop, and it's heading towards Dover coast somewhere, and literally takes 2 miles to stop, and we're about half a mile out, and the bank yet hasn't a still full throttle ahead. And you think, whoa, hang on, start pausing or putting it into reverse a bit, because we haven't got a lot of time here. And I think once you start rolling down that area, and if you crash the global economy by yanking up interest rates, less people will buy, and that's what they want to do to bring inflation down. But you've also got massive economies like China exporting deflation. We could have a big problem on our hands. We could have a big super tanker going to Dover, the White Cliffs of Dover, John.
Well, thankfully, we're still in an inflationary environment. Yeah. Because, I mean, I like a bit of inflation personally.
Well, everyone does. That's helps
my mortgage go away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it would be nice to have that without interest rates going up the way they have. But hopefully they won't stay up at the 6.6% level for very long. I think we're all pretty sure that'll come back. It's not my specialist area. And China having deflation, well, that's their problem. But you see, in a deflationary environment, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And I think the Chinese Communist Party are fine with that, in that decision making. Whereas in the West, I think we prefer it the other way around. I think we'd like the rich to get a little less rich and the poor to do a bit better. So, for those of us who sit somewhere in between, I'm all for, I guess, the slightly more socialist side of things, whilst maintaining economic growth. And thankfully, we still have economic growth in the UK and in the US.
Do we?
And there are businesses are reshoring to the US, so that's good.
Do we have a growth here?
Well, it might not feel like it sometimes, but technically, we haven't fallen into recession yet, so that means we've still got some growth.
Yeah, that recession thing is definitely is ridiculous. Because look at GDP, right? GDP, I'm looking at the stats here, it came out on Wednesday, latest GDP, year on year, minus 0.4% to May, and then for the month, 0.1. And literally, it's flat. Any expansion is a tiny bit, but it's non-existent. We are in a recession. That's why the markets that they are where they are, because they've priced this in. We are now in a recession. It'll be announced, figures will be revised or something like that, and they'll say, we were in a recession. And that always happens, and then we'll start to rally because the figures will get less bad, So we are at the bottom, I think, close to the bottom. But I'm worried about there's a rally out, and then slowing economies, inflation coming down. We're rallying because inflation comes down, And then the global economies will slow down because of the interest rates. And then they realize, oh, hang on a sec, we've gone a bit too far, and we'll have to bring down interest rates again. And that'll help the markets again. But then you worry about the economies and think, well, where does that go? So I think it's been a volatile year or so in the markets. I think we'll rally from here and then come back down and rally back again when stimulus from the banks. The banks are ridiculous. They're rubbish. They go from one extreme to the other, from 0% interest rates up to 5% within a year or something, 40-year highs. They'll have to crank them back down soon because they're crashing the economies. Full stop. It's like, why can't they just be, moderate and not meddle so much?
I think history will suggest that a more moderate rate rises would have been better. But the central banks get so terrified about runaway inflation.
I know.
Now, inflation is driven by many things. Most of it's energy, and we know that thankfully oil prices are not so high at the moment, which is very helpful.
Gas prices have come down massively, haven't they? And
Oil at $81 a barrel is not a big price. So I'm quite sure when the world ramps up again, oil and energy prices will go up. Now, it's important to keep oil energy prices down for Europe because of the Ukraine war. Putin was trying to ramp up prices and damage supply to create all sorts of problems in Europe. He wanted to create recession in Europe. Now that seems to have been avoided, but Part of the other consequence of that is that the Chinese have increased their imports of oil by 45%, with most of that coming from Russia. Now, that's discounted oil for them. That's helping to create their deflationary environment. Good for China. It's going to reduce, and it helps their manufacturers reduce their production costs. But people don't want to buy their products in the way that they used to. So they're having problems with exports. It's tough on Chinese workers because their salaries are tied to the output of the manufacturing companies they work for, which is pretty tough. If you're working for a factory and suddenly they're producing half of what they were a year ago, and that I don't know if that would halve their salaries, but it has an impact, and it means the Chinese aren't buying much either.
Okay. Well, let's talk about individual companies, John. First, one of your favourites, you do like your Bushveld. So Bushveld Minerals, what's happening? BMN, John, what's happening there?
Well, just to say, we published a note on Bushveld in the week. We've got a new target price of 15.8p per share. That's quite a lot over where we are now. Bushveld's been at about 3p. Our analyst, Sergey, is working on this now.
What's your target price, sorry?
15.8,
wow, which is a big... Wow, we're now at 3p.
Yes, we've always known there's a lot of fundamental value in the business. Mm-hmm. They recently announced that they're replacing the chief executive, Fortune Mojavelo, who actually oversaw the acquisition of these assets.
Yeah.
But he, shall we say, that the board are concerned about the costs, and so they've decided to replace Fortune with someone who's more focused on cost cutting. He's an accountant who's come out of De Beers. He's getting to grips with what are pretty specialized assets in the vanadium business. I think it's the third largest primary vanadium producer in the world. So it is a fundamentally large business.
So how much was the third largest, is it, in the world, vanadium producer?
Third largest primary vanadium business. Well, so
ironically, they've sacked the CEO because if you've held since November 2018, you've lost a fortune. so they've got
badly.
Fortune's lost fortunes. They got rid of the fortune to CEO. They need to get someone now called bankrupt. Maybe go the other way. It's ironic he's called Fortune, but fair play. From 2017, it went from 1.2p up to 48p. So he made them a fortune there. And then Fortune lost them a fortune after that level. But I like vanadium. I hold a little bit of stock in Infinity Energy Systems. They use vanadium flow batteries for grid scale, large businesses storage, you know, and it's, you know, it doesn't have the flammability, the catch on fire problem that lithium has, and the life of the vanadium flow battery is 30 years, whereas, you know, lithium ion is 5 to 10 maximum. So I do like vanadium, and so I do have alerts on the Bushveld mineral price, but they keep spiking up, and there's these fake breakouts, but they don't quite get above a 200-day moving average. Pay attention to that, everyone. 200-day moving average. But having said that, it didn't even fake breakout from that in 2022, March, but they came back down. So it's a difficult chart. But you're saying 15 pence there.
As you say, it's a volatile business. It's quite a tough business to run in a low vanadium price environment. But it's not just sensitive to the vanadium price, but also to the South African rand. And of course, in South Africa, they've got all these problems with what's called load shedding. It means the state utility cuts off power at the moment for about half the day. Which is terribly awkward if you're trying to, cook something or recharge your iPhone or something. So
yes, but not if you're in the bedroom department with the other half. It's quite convenient.
Maybe.
They'll probably have a lot more kids coming out of Africa soon. That'll push up productivity and buying. But you know, that is hard. Yeah, that's the thing. Jurisdictions. You know, when you're investing, I know with resource companies, it's very hard sometimes to find. You know, if you're looking for a certain commodity you want to get exposure to, looking for a jurisdiction that is safe in some way. In South Africa, how safe is it there? Is it safe to invest there?
Well, from a personal security perspective, it's been getting more dangerous.
Yeah.
But they've got so many people coming into South Africa from other parts of Africa, people who don't have jobs or prospects or much of a training in anything. And I think a lot of the crime is associated with that. When it comes to energy security, it's pretty horrendous at the moment. Now, Bushveld is largely sorted that out, shall we say. So the disruption from power outages should be much, much less than they were. But it was having an impact. And also the company, I think, well, hopefully it will improve its performance with its guidance going forward. So I think it will have turned a corner now. It's learned some hard lessons. Just wish it had learned some of those lessons a bit earlier.
Yeah, you're not the only one. I think that. Empire Metals, EEE. What's happening there, John?
Yes, with Empire, they have a project called Pitfield in Western Australia, and they were looking for what's known as a giant copper deposit. In fact, what they discovered was a very large titanium rock project. I say rock, it's titanium held within a sedimentary package in geological terms. And that's quite exciting because there are some other titanium mineral sands projects quite nearby. They're good quality. Those projects have good quality titanium mineral sands. That means the impurities are acceptable. Because there are always impurities in this. And when they make white paint out of titanium mineral sands, then what they don't want is certain impurities which colour the paint. Usually they colour it yellow, from what I understand. About 5%, 5 to 10% of this is also used for titanium parts for bicycles and aircraft and military equipment.
Knees, medicals?
Yes, knees, yes. Yeah, maybe not so many tons
hips.
For knees. But
oh, yeah.
But we do hear a lot of people having new knees and new hips these days. It is a very important metal. It's a strategic metal in many parts of the world. And Australia seems to have a lot of it. And this is huge as a deposit. There's more to know. But the work that they're doing looks like this is shaping up really well. So there's also potential they might discover some copper one of these days. But right now, the focus, I think, is going to be on the titanium. And just to figure out, well, what is the value of this project? Because it's very large. It's got very high grade. It might even be the highest grade in the world, which would be extraordinary. So it's not in a bad area because it's in Western Australia, which we see as as good for mining. Certainly, yeah. The government is helpful.
Yeah, and also projects in those areas don't they get a better valuation because they are in safer jurisdictions like Canada and Australia as opposed to parts of Africa. You know,
definitely yes.
Okay, and the last mention here is this company's had a tough time and largely in safe jurisdictions, but it's strategic minerals. They've announced an update today. Have you read through it?
Well, Strategic Minerals were giving us a bit of an update. So they've got the Redmore project in Cornwall. Mm. They've been updating their sort of data room on that, and they're applying for a government grant, and I think they need to reapply for that. So that is moving forward. It's a bit slowly, but it's moving forward. And then at Lee Creek in South Australia, they're talking to other parties about some kind of cooperation agreement there. So they've got two other groups in their data room. In fact, they're doing the same thing with Redmore and Cornwall. They've got other groups looking at the data on that. So I think watch this space. In the meantime, at Cobre in the USA, they're still producing and processing magnetite. They sold the magnetite for over 2 million last year. Mm. And that produces a nice bit of profit. It means the company doesn't have to rush to the market for a fundraising. So they take things slowly but surely. And there is stuff going on in the background, very definitely. And they're a very, very experienced management team. So with Strategic Minerals, you're buying into Redmore, which is tin and tungsten, both considered to be strategic resources. And in fact, something they highlighted, which I'd missed, was the US and the UK have been talking about the US is going, it looks like it's going to consider the UK as if it's part of the US from a critical minerals perspective for certain minerals. Now, I feel sure that that will be tin and tungsten at the very least, and possibly might include one or two other metals going forward. But we know that in Cornwall, we've got some of the best tin resources going. If you look at Cornish Metals, for example, and the tin mine they have there, it's one of the best projects in the world. So, or possibly the best project in the world outside Myanmar, which is a difficult place to do business with at the best of time. Yeah. So, yes, I think the US wants to encourage more production in the UK so that it can then include that within its IRA, which is the incentive scheme that they have for helping companies to develop critical minerals. And we know certain funds that are actually out there investing US money into projects so that we don't have to buy so much from China going forwards. Because as we know with China, when they get upset about something, they start to withdraw access to critical minerals like gallium and germanium.
They take their ball home, don't they? It's like, right, yeah. My ball, you're not playing. That's it. No one likes playing with kids like that, you know.
Well, to be fair, both sides do it because the Americans have restricted semiconductor chips.
They take their soccer ball.
Exactly. So both sides are at it to some degree, but there's no doubt the Chinese have been playing a dirtier game.
Yeah. When you mention data rooms, whenever I mention data rooms, I'm always, I can't unlink it from escape rooms. And I'm thinking maybe that's the way forward for companies. You get potential partners into a data room, and to get out, they have to do a deal in some way. You know, that's the only way they can escape that data room. And I don't know why I hit data rooms, I hear escape rooms.
Well, the reason why a company is in a data room is because they are looking at either doing a joint venture or some kind of cooperative agreement with the company, or maybe even there's full-blown M&A potential. But I don't really want to go that far. I think the company's been fairly specific. There are different companies looking at these data rooms because they are interested in effectively investing in those projects, maybe even taking over those projects. There's no suggestion they're looking to take over the whole company as yet, but it may well be that sometimes that's a cleaner way to do it from an M&A perspective, just to take over the entire entity. But again, management haven't said that. There's no sense of full-blown M&A. Just they're saying that they have two companies.
Yeah, go on.
Two companies looking at the data rooms of Redmore and two separate companies, by the sounds of it, looking at Lee Creek in South Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my chat-up line to my wife. I said to her, me and you look like we could be full-blown M&A potentials.
That sounds so enticing.
that's what a corporate guy would use, I think. He should try that. Plenty of a full-blown M&A potential. Okay, thanks for that, John. Speak next week.
All right, thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.